Just to kind of dig into that a little bit, let's first, you know what we'll do first? I think a lot of people might have lost the kind of detail in it, in all the excitement and with the toy show and everything else. So what we'll do first is let's talk to RTE's political correspondent, Micheál Lehane. And Micheál, good morning.
Morning, Brendan.
And thanks for joining us. So, Micheál, would you, if you wouldn't mind, just give us the rundown again on what our lives are going to look like for, over the next number of weeks.
Yeah, I suppose things really begin to change from Tuesday, because at that point things begin to open up again. But on the key point of visitors to homes, well, that remains unchanged. On that day, no one outside of the people who are currently in bubbles can visit. But things like places of worship, people can return to mass, up to 50 people can gather in churches. Also museums, galleries, cinemas, libraries, they reopen. And the big thing for many people, hairdressers, and also all those retail shops that have been closed up to now, they can reopen as well. And then when it comes to the travel limits or the exercise limits, as they were called, from Tuesday onwards, people can travel within their county. But I suppose the advice around working and working from home in particular remains the same, to continue to do that unless absolutely necessary not to. Then there's further changes next Friday, December 4th. That's when the gastropubs and the restaurants can reopen. People will be able to meet up in those places. Up to six people can meet up, and they could all be from six different households. And the time limit, pretty much the same as it was the last time, despite some speculation in the lead-in to yesterday that it would be reduced. People will still have, in most places, 1 hour, 45 minutes to have a drink and finish their meal. That can be longer, the Taoiseach was pointing out last night, in places where tables are fairly distanced and well distanced from each other.
On one hand, we have to stay within our family bubbles until the 18th, but six people from six households could go out and have dinner next Friday.
Yeah, that is one of those things, yeah.
Yeah.
And also then I suppose the big change then when you get to December 18th, that's when people can travel across the country, and that's when households can meet up as well. Up to three households can come together, and there's no limit on those numbers. Also along the way, two hotels and guest houses, they can reopen from next week, and the restaurants and hotels, they can reopen from Friday, the 4th of December.
And they can reopen for people who are not resident in the hotel.
Not residents, yeah. That was one of the measures that was pushed as well by Cabinet yesterday. I suppose one of the questions too that was asked a lot last night in relation to people who will be planning to come home from abroad for Christmas, and the advice from government, simple enough there, saying they believe those trips should be put off, but if people feel they have to come home and want to meet their families, well, then it's a case of following the rules. I suppose while there was a lot of guidance spoken about, and there is fairly particular guidance when people meet up over the Christmas period in homes, whether that's trying to avoid sharing knives and forks or glasses and cups and the like, and to try and use disposable plates and to keep distances within houses, the message still was that government aren't going to be overly prescriptive in all of this, and it's about people exercising their own judgment.
Okay, what could possibly go wrong? Listen, this is about the economy, but they were also, I noticed Micheál Martin seemed to be kind of alarmed. He didn't talk about, he didn't specifically say what these CSO figures are that are coming out on Monday, but there are figures around mental health, and I gather they're not good, are they?
There was two sets of figures that seemed to strike the government a lot when that cabinet subcommittee met on Thursday night, and also when all the ministers were around the cabinet table yesterday. And they concerned depression figures, data compiled by the CSO, people who feel depressed almost all the time or downhearted, that if you look at that figure when it was measured last April compared to a comparable figure for 2018, well, it had almost doubled. And then there was another figure which was simply termed around well-being, a feeling of low overall satisfaction with life. That had almost risen fourfold over the period from 2018 to April of this year, according to CSO data. And what was striking too on that was if you compare that figure, that feeling of low overall satisfaction with life, compare that to where it was last April, to the height of the financial crisis period, and it had almost doubled people who were experiencing those feelings at that point. This was that illustrative of the mood of what politicians were detecting, a sense of weariness, and Micheál Martin as well talking about the mental pressures on people. So they were influential sets of data. That full set of data set to be published next week.
Okay, thanks, Micheál. Will you stay with us for a minute? Jack Horgan-Jones is here from the Irish Times. And Jack, you're writing about this today. And would it be fair to say that NPHET are not totally on board with the easing of restrictions as announced yesterday?
Oh, I think that would be an understatement, yeah. I mean, the way NPHET have presented the options to government is basically a binary choice between opening up your hospitality sector, so pubs and gastropubs, restaurants and so on, and allowing increased numbers of household visits. They said you can have one, but you can't have the other. And the government has taken that advice on board and said, well, no, actually, we'd very much like to have our cake and eat it. We'd like to figure out a kind of way to make that square peg fit into a round hole, to open up hospitality relatively early in the month, and then later on in the month to relax the rules around household visits. So you basically have kind of both engines going at the same time.
But the government, I'd see, is saying that they've made this trade-off here, that the people, the household visits for the first 2 weeks are being held off, and that's their trade-off.
That's the trade-off, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in fairness to the government, the NPHET letter actually said that you could probably restrict lessen some of the household restrictions from the 4th of December, and they've gone, the government decision has been to go to the 18th. But it is very much this kind of two-week period, and in the run-up to the two-week period, that will have, you know, the hospitality side potentially driving greater levels of infection, and then the greater mingling of households, which is the kind of the thing that I get the sense is keeping the guys on NPHET up at night.
Okay, so you could say that the plan here is let everybody go out and about and mingle and meet and have a few drinks and get it, and then they've 2 weeks to bring it home to their families afterwards. That's the worst case scenario.
That's kind of the nightmare scenario, yeah. And I think that was very much like inherent in the advice that went to government, basically to hold off on hospitality because he didn't want to create this kind of base level of disease circulating in society that would then, as you say, get pushed into homes up and down the country.
Now, tell us about this meeting on Thursday. You were calling it in your article today the battle of the spreadsheet. So the government basically isn't taking NPHET's data and information anymore. They're coming armed with their own as well.
Yeah, so I think the best way to understand this is to trace it back to this meeting that happened on the 17th of October in government buildings between NPHET and very senior ministers. And that was a meeting that happened just before we made the decision to go into level 5. And when they all sat down around the table, there was a feeling in the aftermath of that meeting that the government was effectively overpowered by the strength of argument and the persuasive data sets that NPHET was able to bring to the table. And when that happened, they went away and they said, right, we're in level 5 now, but the next time when we come to lessen the restrictions, we're not going to let this happen again. We're not going to let ourselves be overpowered. And they went off and they detailed the Department of Finance, the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform to pull together all these different sets of analyses, the CSO data as well that Micheál mentioned came into it. And they also got the management consultancy firm EY to come in and crunch the numbers. In fact, actually, all that data was published late last night. So it is up there on the internet for anyone who wants to have a look at it.
OK, tell me about the letter NPHET sent to the government. It makes for alarming enough reading, doesn't it?
It really does. So
was the advice that was given 2 days ago, basically. That letter was published last night.
So the NPHET meeting happened on Wednesday. The letter was kind of written Wednesday evening into Thursday morning and delivered to government and then promptly emerged into the media shortly thereafter. So the letter, it starts on a fairly optimistic note and it says, look, over the last 5 weeks, we've done relatively well, and particularly when you compare us to the rest of Europe, which has seen disease grow rapidly over that period, we've managed to suppress it. But we haven't gotten it down to the stated goal of between 50 and 100 cases a day and an R number, this number that represents how quickly the disease is spreading throughout society, of 0.5. So basically, we're not where we want to be. And also, we're heading into this very peculiar and specific set of demands on society and demands coming from people within society that comes alongside Christmas. So that follows from that kind of set of circumstances that they gave that binary choice between hospitality
households. This is a bit like when the fella asking the guy for directions down in Kerry and your man says, well, I wouldn't start from here. we're not starting from a good point here in terms of where the numbers are at. Right?
We're not starting from a good point, and I think there's some interesting conclusions you can draw from that as well. One of which is that 5 weeks of level five doesn't work. It doesn't get you to where you need to go. So
now, I thought the NPHET letter spent a lot of time telling us why, outlining why level five did actually work, didn't they? They went to a lot of trouble to make that case.
To support their own arguments. Yeah. And look, I don't think you can say it has had no impact. I mean, when you combine the what they call level three max, which was the household restrictions visit, and then level five, I mean, it's clear. And you look at the divergence between Ireland and Europe, it's clear we've done fairly well. But it doesn't seem to be within the kind of policy toolkit of levels one to five to get us down to that level that we experienced very early in summer.
OK, the bigger picture here going forward is that NPHET, as it says there, I think it's on the front of your paper, that NPHET are saying that we could be back into restrictions before Christmas if we hit a certain critical point, which is 400 cases a day. They're saying we need to go back.
I think that if you were to take one number away from the kind of maelstrom of numbers that's circulating at the moment, it would be that number of 400 cases per day. And not to sound like a weather forecaster, but 400 and rising quickly is the danger point.
Okay.
If you hit 400 and you see a kind of exponential growth coming in, that's when NPHET say that you have to step up and act quickly and decisively. And they also say that if you act at that point, you can probably bring it back under control with a period of 3 weeks restrictions. The question is, when do we hit that 400 point?
Okay, so we've 2 weeks grace period here now, presumably, because the next 2 weeks will be dictated by level five, and then it's what happens at that point, which is essentially in the 10 days, 2 weeks into Christmas is when we're going to see numbers starting to rise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when you drill down into the analysis in the NPHET letter, it's really interesting because all their modelling suggests coming from a point in early December when cases are at around that 50 to 100 cases per day level.
Yeah.
So they kind of presume that when they're modelling this out. So we really do need to see cases continue to come down over the next week or 10 days. Otherwise, the suggestion inherent in the letter is not that we'll hit the 400 cases per day at the end of January, at the middle of January, even at the start of January, that it could come sooner than that. And that's kind of a nightmare scenario, both in terms of society, but also in terms of, you know, the political outcome for the government, because the government is the one who made this decision. And, you know, they've done so in the name of having a more nuanced policy approach to how to approach the pandemic. But people won't really care about that if they have to shut down again sooner rather than later.
I was struck by what the NPHET letter said about the prospect of emigrants coming home at Christmas. They were quite... they're quite concerned about that, aren't they?
They are, and that's actually a concern, as I understand it, that is shared at some of the highest levels of government. So during that marathon meeting that took place on Thursday that you referenced before, I understand that the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, actually flagged with colleagues, look, I'm still not happy with where we're at in terms of travel. I'm not happy that the passenger locator form is working well enough. I'm not happy that we have the kind of strictures in place to keep people under control once they come in. I think that there is a kind of generally accepted theory that, you know, there will be cases imported over the Christmas period. The question is how many, and that'll be a function of how many people come
NPHET's
in, but also how that's controlled thereafter.
Yeah,
you know?
But NPHET are saying in this letter, I don't know if the phrase is deeply concerned, but they are very concerned about it. And they seem to suggest that people should only come home for very strictly limited things, which they say a funeral or medical reasons. That's what NPHET say in the letter. This is what Eamon Ryan said in the press conference last night about people coming home for Christmas from abroad.
We're encouraging people not to travel, international travel, but some people do have to come home, and they're the best judges of that. Maybe they have a parent who's very lonely, or maybe they're a parent and haven't seen their children. They have to come home at this particular time. We all understand that, and we will give a welcome to such people. They have to come.
So, Micheál, can I bring you back in there? Is there a sense here that the government have decided to go their own way on some things and are taking a big risk here?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's a few reasons for that. I mean, there's the economic reason, isn't it? They believe maybe 100,000 or more people can return to work fairly quickly. They also believe, and they were detecting this, that people were going to move about for Christmas anyway, so an accommodation had to be made. And I suppose if the accusation in the past was that government were outsourcing political responsibility to public health experts, well, they've asserted political responsibility here. But equally, what you'll hear from government, I think, is an emphasis on placing that responsibility back on people now, essentially saying, we've done our bit, now it's over to you. And you can hear that in those messages, which are likely to be repeated a lot, saying every contact counts. So when or if a crisis does emerge in those days into Christmas, and that is the key worry, it's hard to know where exactly the blame will lie there.
I know what you're saying here, and obviously you're an RT political correspondent, so you can't say this. They're going to blame us again, aren't they? Okay.
Well, yeah.
There's another interesting clip, actually, I want to play from the press conference last night. And this is, it's interesting on a human level here, too. But listen to here, the Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar. I think Christina Finn from The Journal asked them, will you be going to gastropub yourselves over Christmas? And listen to the difference between their two approaches here.
And I don't know whether the pub fodder is on this year or not. That was a new innovation we had in the local club in the last couple of Christmases, but I presume that we might have to do it on our own kind of thing, you know. So might engage in a lonely pub fodder up some hill, you know.
I'm afraid, Christine, I have to admit to suffering cabin fever for the last few weeks, so it'll be gym and haircut on Wednesday and restaurant at the weekend with some friends I haven't seen for months, and I really can't wait, and I hope people do make the best of December, and can enjoy some of the personal freedoms that we've all missed so much. And I'm just delighted that people are getting back to work, that businesses are opening. But, you know, we do all need to stay safe, and that is us, down to all of us, doing what we know very well how to do now, and that is to keep ourselves safe and look after others too.
And I will too. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, we still haven't all been for dinner together. Or even a pint because of all these rules.
I think Eamon would bring the recyclable plates.
Jack, would it be fair to say, is Leo Varadkar very much positioning Fine Gael as the party of, you know, get back out there and go and get to a restaurant?
Yeah, the more kind of laissez-faire approach, and I don't think that's massively surprising. I think that both parties, in fairness, have been kind of coming under a lot of pressure from below. And when you look at what happens in the parliamentary party meetings over the last couple of weeks, it's not been confined to either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. You have individual TDs and senators standing up in both and pushing for a greater relaxation and saying, look, we're getting it in the air on the ground. Our constituency organisations, our constituency workers are getting it in the air because people's lives livelihoods are suppressed, people are feeling depressed and lonely at home. Can you please push on and open up more of society, and particularly open up the wet pubs, which is something that they discussed on Thursday but didn't actually go for in the end, because that became, you know, this kind of, you know, representative of just how far people wanted them to go, but how far they wouldn't go as well.
Yeah, and I think they are blaming or crediting the EY data as well with that wet pubs decision, right?
Yeah, I had a look at that EY data this morning, and you know, like, there's lots of caveats attached to it. It's hard to be absolutely definitive, but they do kind of look at the relationship between how the disease performs and different restrictions that are introduced at different times. And you look at when the wet pubs came back in, and it just all turns red, you know.
And they did this by local electoral areas.
They did it by county in this instance, but yeah, it is closer.
So
in some
quite granular. Micheál, one quick other question for you there's a lot of texters wondering, do they still have to buy food in the pub? That's what's on people's minds today.
Yeah, that is one of the key things. And I think the food that people will have to buy in the pub, it seems, will have to come from a pub kitchen. That's one of the key differences, it seems. How that is absolutely going to be implemented may be unclear, but this time food can't be ordered in from a takeaway next door or anything like that. Pubs that are serving the food will have to have their own kitchen.
Yeah, and like, there were a lot of pubs, I felt anyway, running an orderly enough situation where they were getting pizzas or stuff delivered from the local restaurant, and it seemed to work well for everybody. But look, there you go. Now, speaking of restaurants, Gina Murphy, the owner of Hugo's Restaurant in Merrion Row in Dublin, is on the line. Gina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, Gina, people will know you from being on the airwaves a lot and looking for indoor dining to be brought back, and saying that, you know, you couldn't survive at outdoor dining, you needed indoor dining. And then I was surprised to read in Jack's paper today that you were saying that you actually weren't going to open regardless. But I gather you've just come now from a meeting with your managers and you're rethinking that.
No, sorry, excuse me. First of all, how you doing? I didn't actually say that we weren't going to open. What I said is that we have to sit down and do the math on everything, and we would make a decision once we knew what the restrictions okay. would be. So there's a big difference there. We had opened our reservation book a couple of weeks ago, and we're taking reservations, but based on the knowledge shared with our customers that, you know, we may not open depending on whatever the restrictions were.
Okay, so what have you decided?
I think we will be opening our doors next Friday, Brendan, thank you.
Congratulations.
We're thrilled to bits.
What happened in the last 24 hours to help you make this decision?
Well, as soon as the Taoiseach started speaking, the phone started ringing. And the emails started coming in.
No way.
I kid you not. I had to hang up on one lady. I said, can I call you back? I'm listening to the speech. And she said, that's why I'm ringing you. I said, but I need to listen. So, the phone started hopping. And the emails just poured in. So,
Had you been taking bookings for December?
Yes, we had. But again, on the premise, We spoke with everybody saying, we're going to put you in the book, but we still don't know if we will be open.
Okay, but the business is absolutely there. Are you booked out now for December, so?
Not booked out, but we have very strong bookings on the weekends. And, you know, hopefully now when we cannot accommodate somebody on the weekends, that it'll push back into other days. We're not going to have the same level of business at all compared to other years.
What percentage can you fit?
Oof, 60 max. 60 max.
And normally you would be?
Sorry. Well, normally for Christmas, you know, we'd have up to 100 in the room. Sorry, when I say 60%. So, okay. You know, we're looking at 55 people in the place. But what we're actually working on right now is table plans and how we can actually change the layout of the restaurant to maximize our capacity safely. I mean, obviously, everything that we do is with the absolute underlying concerns for the safety of our customers, but also our staff. I mean, they're precious. So.
A lot of people I've been talking to in the hospitality industry say that they were unsure if staff would want to come back, and that front of house staff particularly, some of them just didn't want to come back into work for a few weeks.
I tell you what the issue there is with us was more concern about the pup payment. I mean, everything that we're doing within the restaurant is very safe, and we've strictly adhered to all the guidelines and more. You know, we've gone OTT on things. We split up our staff into pods. We had separate staff rooms, separate entrances. You know, we didn't enter the kitchen anymore. The food was brought to a central point so that there was no crossover. So, I mean, we really went above and beyond what was even asked of us. So the staff have no concerns. The worry was really on the pup, because in September, when they went back on the pup payment, some of them were waiting up to 4 weeks to get paid. Now, I'm assured that that's not going to happen this time, but that was the concern.
Okay. And listen, are you hoping to stay open then beyond Christmas?
I can't see that far in the future. I really can't. I think we'll be very lucky to stay till Christmas Eve, and we'll be thrilled with that. So far on the reservations, I think it's looking unlikely that we will open between Christmas and New Year's. And we did take a decision yesterday, regardless of what the outcome of the restrictions were, we were not going to open on New Year's Eve as normal. I just decided that my staff should have it with their families.
Yeah, and I think that could be a very sensible...
Horrible year.
That could be a very, very sensible decision. Listen, just one thing before you go. In terms of the logistics of all this, right, I saw a restaurateur the other night, for example, saying that how can he turn around to his butcher and say, I want 34-day aged beef, for example, what I wanted in 5 days and everything. Is there going to be an issue with getting supply chains up and running, getting food and all that kind of thing?
Yes, but you know, there are certain things that there will be problems with, because I mean, even down to our wine suppliers, you know, the orders have to be put in advance, and everybody's been waiting for the notification. But look, I mean, we'll whip everything into gear as much as we can and as quick as we can. I do see us operating with very reduced menus, though, and not the same, array of items that we may normally have had. But that's also down to capacity. One of the other things, Brendan, is we've had to work out our optimum roster. I mean, there's no point in me taking somebody off the pub payment to just give them part-time hours. You know, anybody that's coming off, we're going into full-time mode. So we would normally be a 7-day operation. We're probably going to be a 5-day for the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
But it's all based on that.
Okay, Gina, good luck with everything, and I hope
thank you very much.
Hope you have
and
a good
best of luck
Christmas.
To all the other restaurateurs. I mean, every
absolutely.
One of them has a tough decision, but good on them, and I hope they do really well.
Absolutely. Jack Organ Jones, are you hopeful we get to Christmas? Will Gina get to Christmas? Having read into it all and the data and everything?
I think it's more likely than not that we will. Yeah. Okay. I think that given the fact that there's more declines kind of baked in, as you said at the top yourself, you know, there's still more of level five to come through. So we probably will head towards the 100 cases a day. It's all kind of what they like to say in NPHET, path dependent, which is one of those unwieldy terms. But like translated into layman's terms, it depends on us. It depends on what we do. If we absolutely lose the run of ourselves, then, you know, I think all bets are off.
There you go, folks. It's all back to us again. All right. Thanks a million, Jack Organ-Jones from the Irish Times. And thank you as well to RTE's Micheál Lehane. I'll be back in a minute. We're going to check in with Mary O'Rourke and let's have a look into the soul of the country and see what's going on.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.